Welcome to Astrology Awareness. I am your host, Carmen Turner Schott, and I'm here today with my co-host, Suki. How are you today, Suki?
Doing good. How are you, Carmen?
Really
doing okay?
Yeah, doing really good. It looks like we have a couple callers that have called in today, and we already have someone on the line right now.
Oh, great.
We'd like to welcome Dorothy. Are you there?
Hi, Dorothy.
Hello.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. There's an echo.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Yeah, it may do that a little bit.
Okay.
From time to time, but can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can now. Yes.
Okay, good, good. You know, we just wanted to welcome you to the show, and, you know, just, you know, what we like to do is just to start out and kind of tell you, you know, what we see, and then have time for extra questions. And,
okay.
You know, if we get another call, you know, we'll have to wrap up probably in about 15, 20 minutes. And if not,
okay.
We can give you a little bit extra time.
Okay,
so,
that sounds great. Thank you.
I'll go ahead and thank you for calling in, and I'll go ahead and let Suki start off.
Okay.
Hi,
Dorothy. Hi. What I'm going to do, I'm just going to share some stuff with you today, whatever I see. Sometimes always not, you know, something's not always good or something's a little bit, you know, but I'm going to be honest, okay?
Okay, that sounds great.
The things crossed my mind this morning that when I look at your birthday, I was wondering, you are currently single. There is some life. Life has been pretty challenging. I mean, you have a great life, but there are some challenges I see, and you've been through some hard time.
Yes.
It's actually getting better, believe it or not.
Right.
If you are not a single right now, there's a couple issues I'd like to address, but if you are, you know, remarry or lost your husband or partner before, very hard for me to say it, but it comes to me, so I just address that with you. Okay, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
You want me to continue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You've been focused on your career, and, you know, you just focus on a lot of minor things in your life. Pretty much you need to kind of let go of all of that stuff, all the past. You know, more so like what you can do for other people instead of what you deserve to have or what deserve to receive it from other people is the key word. Very nice lady. Artistic person, I say. Emotionally very deep, very spiritual. You have a lot of talent. A lot of stubbornness, actually, you know, the worries and concerns, all those stuff actually create some, kind of like a stress-related health issues. So the main thing is, you know, try to meditate and, you know, don't try to not to do anything stress you out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you really need to focus on your health more than anything else. You've been pretty good luck with, you know, all other stuff, you know, overall your life. As far as a partnership and friendship, I mean, you're pretty easy to have a friends and a partners, but then you have, you know, pretty easy to lose, too. So there are some challenges over there. I can ask a few things. I kind of give it to Carmen and see what she sees. Then I can add it to a couple of things.
Okay.
What do you think, Carmen?
Sure. Several things that that Suki's pointed out, I'm seeing in your natal chart here, your artistic talents. Your son is in the fifth house, which is the house of art and creativity and self-expression. It's the house of Leo, the house of children. So most people that have the sun and any planets in the fifth house usually are born with some type of artistic talent. So I definitely, agree with that. And you also have Jupiter sitting in your fifth house, Dorothy, which is the planet of good luck and good fortune. And it usually blesses us in a positive way, and that can be, with children or with an artistic talent. And I do see that. But the main thing I'm drawn to in your chart is your nodes. And your north node is your soul mission this lifetime. And the south node is what you've already mastered, what you're meant to let go of. And Suki had mentioned career and how that's been a real big part of your life. And that's actually your south node is sitting in your career house. It's in the house of work and career, and it's, where you shine. So throughout most of your life, from a young age, you've been very driven, very, success mind. You wanted to be successful, have a very good career, and you work very hard. And what happens with these nodes, though, is you usually, blessed with, career is a major issue in your life, throughout your life. But as you get older, you're forced to focus more on your home and family. And a lot of people with these nodes, I see that they, at some time in their life, they have to take care of a parent or someone close to them in their home.
Right.
Because the north node is in the fourth house, which is all about the mother, the father, your roots, your childhood, your home. And that's where your soul mission is this lifetime is to, really have to think about those issues more so. And you may have to let go of career things, or you may have to learn to balance your career with your home responsibilities. And sometimes that can be a little bit stressful because the north node is where we feel the most uncomfortable, and it's where we have the most growth, where we're meant to learn and grow. And have you experienced that, Dorothy?
You said the north node where you experience the most growth or the south?
The north node, both nodes really, but as far as having to kind of shift your focus a little bit from career to home and family, have you felt that?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm working for our business, where before I did consulting work and worked steady at a hospital and in management. Yeah, I think that is true. That is very true.
Yeah, if I want to add it to that, I'll just piggyback on what Carmen says. In the past or past life, she's been very focused on career, a little bit neglecting on her family. So really meant to focus on more family and friendship and taking care of. That is her older years mission. Carmen says, it makes you very uncomfortable at times, but that's what you meant to do it. What do you think, Carmen?
Oh, exactly. And it's interesting you mentioned, Dorothy, that you were in the medical field in some way because in the medical profession or related, because the south node in Virgo is all about health and wellness in the medical field. So a lot of people with that south node end up working in the medical field this lifetime. And as you get older, you actually go through a lot of things that make you be more spiritual. And because you're born, with an innate knowledge and practicalness, Virgos are very practical, logical, analytical, they're earth sign. And you're meant to become a Pisces. And do that through your home and family life. Pisces is all about compassion, learning to be compassionate, learning to be spiritual, learning to be trust your intuition more and not overanalyze things so much. Those are kind of the energies that I see you, moving towards, like Suki talked about.
Sure.
Yeah, I can recommend, I can see her doing something at home. something something creative, something she likes to do because she likes the pretty things. Very talented, you know. The more she deal with the people, comes and goes, actually bring her luck. Have some flowers around outside of her house, like, you know, the mums is actually bring her luck. The flower, pink and purple, purple colors, the mums are surrounding the house, and they will actually bring her luck. I don't recommend any kind of gambling or try, you know, buy stocks or, you know, kind of like gambling stuff. You know, I want to invest this and invest it. No, I don't recommend that. So it kind of more steady gain properties and monies and financially. I see her a little bit, she has a luck with the man. However, deep inside, she has a little bit of insecure about losing things. And so basically her insecurity is the own enemy. So I recommend she just need to be kind of relaxed and believe and be spiritual and understanding of, like, what Carmen's explaining to you about your mission. And I think you will be a lot better.
Okay.
That's interesting, you know, the good luck with a partner, because I do see that in your chart too, Dorothy, with Venus is in Taurus. And Taurus is, you know, don't like to lose things, as we know. They like stability and comfort. And your Venus is sitting in your marriage and partnership house. So that means that you usually are blessed with a good marriage or partnership in your life. And it's a Taurus energy. You know, and Taurus, you know, they don't like to lose things. They like to hold on to things. They're very connected to the past. And so letting go of the past can be very difficult for Venus and Taurus people, as Suki mentioned. And learning to do that will help your health. It'll help your happiness and overall life. Mm-hmm. And with the financial things, you know, with risk and things, I see what she's talking about there, because in your chart, you have the moon, which is your emotional nature, how you feel about things, and where you find your comfort. Your moon is sitting in the second house of money and finance and security. So emotionally, even if you have a lot of money and your life is good financially, there's always a part of you that kind of worries about not having things or losing things. And that's because the moon is sitting in that second house. And I see clients all the time tell me, and I'm like, what are you worried about? You know, you got a good job. You make great money. You have everything's great. I don't know.
She's a worrier. Yeah. She worries about a lot of things, and it creating a lot of stress for her life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially for probably, you know, partnership, again, she just insecure about a lot of things. So just believe it and trust it and listen to your
intuition.
Quiet voice. Yeah, inner voice. Because you're spiritual, you're very intuitive yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
You just listen to yourself, go with the instincts. Don't analyze too much, and because they're kind of completely drive you nuts. Because all the illnesses, the sicknesses come from your thoughts and, you know, stress related.
Okay.
That's the Virgo. Yeah, the Virgo.
Oh,
sound.
Okay.
Yeah, Virgo is the, you know, I'm a Virgo sun sign, and I'm married to a Virgo, and I tell you, you know, we're both worriers. And I've had to really learn throughout my life to shut my thoughts off and to really feel, what am I feeling? You know, how does it feel? What's my intuition? And
right.
Not think so much and analyze everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really your mission as well, having the North Node in Pisces means, you know, leaving that Virgo, the negative traits of Virgo behind. You know, worry and anxiety and perfectionism and obsession, compulsion. You know, being hard on yourself, being critical of yourself. You're meant to let go of all of those traits and to learn self-acceptance and compassion for yourself and for others and spirituality and being creative. you know, and expressing
mm-hmm.
your creativity. That's your node. And to do that.
Creativity is really key word for her life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, she's been through a lot, but actually her later year, her life is overall really good. So it's actually getting better, too.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, actually getting better. And if you keep that on your mind that, you know, like it says, you know, the mumps, they really stick out in my head this morning that the flower is
uh-huh.
some reason really important for you, the mumps, the
okay.
color of a pink
okay.
and purple is to bring you luck. And number nine
okay.
and number nine and Tuesday is your lucky number and day. So keep
okay.
that in your mind, please.
You know, another thing I'm looking at your health house, and you have Mars and Aries there and Mercury and Aries there, and your sun sign is Aries. So where you tend to be vulnerable is your head with illness. So you could get headaches, migraines, TMJ, you know, things like that.
Allergies.
Yes.
When she's sick, she probably have a fever. And
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, she get hurt. She was pretty weak and pretty sick in younger days. You know, kind
mm-hmm.
of not a really strong child.
Mm-hmm.
I see a little bit of weaknesses in younger days, you know, childhood. I don't know why,
mm-hmm.
but I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, getting
That's
better, though, older age.
Yeah.
The
more active you are, the better, because anytime you have Mars and Aries, it's a very physical sign. So walking, even just walking up and down the block every night,
absolutely.
Is going to
yeah.
help your health. It's going to help
mm-hmm.
your health. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because she loves to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she loves to eat. And, you know, all combination of a sauce and stress, a little bit of insecurityness in her life, just a... you know, past life and all that stuff, it kind of bothering her, so let go of it. Follow the intuition.
Okay.
Follow
mm-hmm.
the intuition. And be happy. Be happy is, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people we hear about it, but it really pertains to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because be happy, not worry about things. Worry too much about stuff is really not good for you.
Okay.
Another thing I see is, you know, you've got Scorpio rising, and Scorpio rising makes you a very perceptive, very intuitive person, and I mean, you know, very psychic. There's two things that happen when you have Scorpio rising. People are either very drawn to you or they're very intimidated by you. And
mm-hmm.
when you walk into the room, people either instantly are very drawn and they want to share all their problems with you. Or they are standoffish, and you may feel like, you know, they don't like me. But it's not that. It's that you have a very intense energy when you walk into the room. Before, when people, you know, get to know you, you know, you show more of your personal side. But when they first meet you, you're very strong Scorpio, you know, powerful energy there. So you may feel like, you know, why don't people, you know, come or approach me? Sometimes you have to approach others because they don't know what to do because your energy is so strong. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
It sure does. Yeah.
And you're very, your sadness comes. A lot of times there's some sadness that you may feel. And what that is you really see the truth, and you really see people's motives. And you can tell if people are fake. And if people like you or dislike you, it's kind of like you just feel their energy. And you may not even know it's a intuitive ability. You just know
mm-hmm.
in your gut they like me or they don't. And it's hard for you to be fake with people.
Yeah, when that happens, it actually upsets a stomach.
What'd you say?
if that happens, that upsets a stomach.
Upsets her stomach. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that true, Dorothy? Do you have that?
My digestive, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have problems with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. you know, we call like a red stomach, very sensitive stomach that is really connected to her emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a Carmen, like you, what you said is absolutely correct. That
when I find like a food bother.
Yeah, she can feel it. She can see it. I mean, she really, like a radar in her heart.
Right.
She can kind of screen it or what things coming. You know, that kind of, it subconsciously made her kind of slow her digestive systems and a little bit of systemic. You know, it's just kind of like a, it's a subtle, but it is the all combination together.
Do you have any specific questions for us that we could answer? Because, you know, our next caller hasn't called in yet, so we have some time for you. And
how about children? What do you see in that area? What do you see? I know you talked about my health and you talked about partnerships. Boy, what else is there? Just children, if you...
Suki, you want to...
Hello?
Suki? We may have lost Suki. I don't... Are you there, Suki?
Yeah, hello? Yeah, we had a little bit of problem with the line. I'm saying sorry about that.
She was asking about children, if what you saw was children. And then all.
Oh, actually, she's naturally pretty good with the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't see any like a particular problem with the children. But again,
okay.
I think it's more her concerns and insecure about all general things, all combination about it. You know, maybe I did them, I raised them right. You know, she tried to take over their behaviors, their life, and it's natural for her. She feels like she's responsible for everything.
Okay.
Yeah, at some point, you got to kind of let them be their own life.
Right.
Even they're going through some hardship in her life, you're going to have to kind of, you know, it's not, you did what you did, what you can do best.
Right.
So,
it's hard, yeah.
You're very hard because you naturally, you're very motherly. You got like strong instincts being a mom, and then you feel guilty about it. You're guilty about not being a good mother. You know, maybe you wasn't there for them, you know, when they're grown up and stuff. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's kind of, you know, Carmen was talk about in the past or past life, you was really focused on work and stuff, and you feel like you really need to, you have to work, you have to, you know, work for survive, and you have to do all of that stuff, but you know, you're kind of guilty about, you know, how you raise children, but you're gonna have to kind of basically understand and just be there and support them.
Okay.
That's all you can do. But the overall, you're the type of person actually you luck with the children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any hardship with the children.
Right.
You might have a hard time to just, as a mother, watch them, you know, doing certain things. I'm not talking about that, but, you know, generally you're a pretty good look with the children.
Mm-hmm. Do you see my husband and I moving somewhere for retirement?
Moving for retirement.
Right, somewhere warm and fun.
I want to tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Carmen mentioned something to you, and I mentioned something to you just a few minutes ago about it. You are pretty good with good luck with a man. So if I were you, I'm going to give you an answer like this. If your husband wants to move, I would say please do that.
Okay.
Because, yeah, this is not about what you're making a decision at this time in your life. It's all connect with what Carmen said earlier about my past life and, you know, you need to more focus on, you know, family and, you know, maybe past life you was a little bit neglectful for your partner and a little bit of stubbornness and all of that is connected together. So answer will be if he wants to move to somewhere a little bit warmer, I would say please do so. And that is a spiritual point there's the right thing to do.
Okay. I mean, Dorothy, are you living in the Ohio area still? I'm just wondering because I want to look. You are. When you asked about your children, I pulled up your transit chart just to see kind of what was going on. And I do see that you have Uranus transiting your fifth house, which is the house of children. And I think that's where some of the uneasiness that you're feeling with your children's coming from, because Uranus is the planet of unexpected changes. And it kind of swoops in and kind of shakes things up a little bit in that area life. So that is one of the reasons you're feeling maybe a little bit more concerned for your children. And they could make some major life changes during the next several years. And, you know, marriage or maybe divorce or having a baby, you know, all those things are common when Uranus transits your fifth house. So, you know, that may be why you're feeling, you know, kind of that energy and
yeah,
things going on.
Yeah, when a son or a daughter can, you know, have a more, drinking more beers than usual, those kind of a lot of times that happen too.
Drinking more beers?
Yeah, that's an example. That's an example of something unusual things. You know, for your children.
Yeah, very. It's like their identity.
Well, my young daughter just moved out to Vegas area, and she's not married. So I'm hoping in the next couple of years she gets married.
Yeah.
She moved out there to be with her sister who lives out there. And then my stepson, I'm hoping that he gets married soon.
Yeah, there's usually going to be
stuff in there.
Yeah, there's going to be changes with their lifestyle, you know, them moving, marrying, you know, very, you know, not bad changes, you know, positive growth that your children will go through. Yeah. And you're going to be worried about them a little bit more than usual for the next probably 6 years, because Uranus is in there for another 6 years for you.
Wow.
Yeah, and one good thing I see financially, and then we'll have to wrap up here in a minute, is that Pluto is in your second house of money and finance. It's been in there for a long, long time. And the good news is it's going to be leaving your financial and money house. So you're not going to be, you know, as worried about money and maybe, you know, losing money, things like that. Suki mentioned not to gamble and things like that right now. It's probably, you know, that energy of Pluto there, you know, it's kind of a rocky planet, you know, to have in your money house. So it's going to be leaving there soon. So that's good news for you.
What's soon? This year or next year?
I would say probably in about a year, yeah.
Okay. Probably, that's, okay. Yeah.
What'd you say, Suki?
Yeah, she said a year and a year and a half. Is that what you say, Carmen? Year and a year?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
2 years? Yeah. Well, sometimes the energy can be a little bit longer, but there will be more.
Sure.
Last triggered, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
thank you so much, and God bless you both.
You too.
Thank you
for calling in.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Suki, you there?
Yeah, what a nice, pleasant lady to talk to.
Yes, that was.
I have to really apologize to our listeners out there. I'm kind of losing my voice, actually, this morning.
Oh, no, I can't
tell. Hopefully, I'm trying really hard. I can talk a little bit clearer so people don't have a problem, the listeners out there. So I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm just, this is May. Maybe it's something with the Taurus energy, I guess.
Some
I thought about that, you know.
Yeah, some allergies.
Always at this time of year on May, Taurus month, right?
Oh, yeah.
Always kind of happens to me, kind of pretty frequently lose my voice, so.
And then the end of May, we have Gemini starting up. So, you know, anything respiratory, you know, sinus.
Oh, yeah.
And cough and lungs. Hello. And, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I think we have a caller here.
Yeah.
Hello? Are you there?
Hello. Hi. I'm here. I'm Jen. I was supposed to call earlier, but I couldn't get through.
Yes.
Hi.
Thank you.
Hi,
Jen.
Hi. I'm Suki. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I just mentioned really quick about my voice this morning. I'm kind of losing it. So if you can understand, please ask me again. I'm going to try to speak a little bit louder so you can hear me okay.
Okay, no problem.
What we're going to do, I'm just going to start it. I'm going to start it and kind of, you know, what I see overall about your life. And Ms. Carmen can kind of explain it to you a little more detail and all of that stuff, okay?
Sure.
Very smart lady. Very smart lady. Okay? Very intellectual, very smart lady. What I see, I'm wondering, you're still studying or you're still pursuing some kind of study, like a continuing education, because that's a very, very important for your life.
And I just started college now.
Okay, I see you even have some opportunity for business purposes, you know, continuing education purposes. You can have a chance to travel or go somewhere like a business related. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, something that you have a chance to, you know, work with the foreigners, or there's something about other countries, okay?
Sounds fun to me.
And also, you actually good at, you're a very talented person as well, and you're good at a lot of things I've seen, but especially if you can kind of touch metal tools, anything made with the metals, you know, it could be computer, hospital tools.
Sure.
You know, you'd be very good. I hope you be a doctor, or you pursuing doctor degree, health professions, designing things, as long as you can touch wood, or mostly, you know, metal tools really would be good.
Huh, that's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, the most important thing in your life is that the day you dropped a book or challenges or like a... COE is a very important. The continuum of education is a key word for your life.
Yeah.
And at times, you're going to feel like things not turn out like the way you want to be. It kind of, you're one of the type of person born or the things kind of slow, okay, overall. Okay, but be steady, and you will be accomplished as long as you learn. You focus on education. You're going to have a lot of opportunity about that. Okay?
Great.
You're really good with the partnerships. You know, a lot of luck with the partnership, such as boyfriend, girlfriend, or just a friendship. So if you want to do any kind of business, I'd recommend listen to your partner and really good with the partnership with the friend or somebody will benefit you. A lot of times I don't recommend that. I recommend, why don't you have a own business and you be the boss and don't worry about it and you're going to get hurt. And you are kind of opposite. So if you have a chance, take that opportunity and go for it. Okay? What do you see, Carmen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything you said, Yosuke, I'm seeing in her chart. Mars is in the ninth house of travel, foreigners, higher education, education, continuing education, all of that. And when Mars is in the ninth house, what I see is that there's always a thirst for knowledge, studying, education, learning things, foreigners. But also, whenever Mars is there, Mars is the one of the love planets, the planet of attraction, and it represents the male and the partner in the life. And a lot of people with Mars in the ninth marry a foreigner or marry someone that's different than them, different background, speaks a different language, things like that. Or you may have a lot of friends that are from other countries, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that you're drawn to that kind of thing?
Yeah, my boyfriend's quite a bit older than me, so I kind of translate that into the same idea. He's from an entirely different generation and different ethnic background, that more educated than myself.
Yeah. And I do agree with Suki that you do have good luck with travel and benefit from travel. And always, you know, the intelligence you have, that comes from your south node in Gemini, and it's sitting in the ninth house. So you were someone that always, believe it or not, you've always been very educated in past lifetimes. You studied and got degrees and really pursued your education. And this lifetime, believe it or not, you've already done that. So this lifetime, you know, you're still drawn to that, but there's always something that might kind of lead you away from, you know, doing all, you know, getting 10 degrees, or, you know, you feel like you want to just get all these degrees, you know? I want a degree in this, a degree in that. I want to learn this and this. And I'm the same way because I got the same nodes as you here. So my whole life I had to pull back and say, no, you know, I'm not supposed to do it, but I want to go to school. I want to get a PhD. What you're meant to do is teach. You already have all the knowledge. And with this node, the north node in the third house is the node of the teacher. You are meant to teach people. You have a brain full of knowledge from not just this lifetime, but other lifetimes of experience and of subject matter. And you are meant to teach people on a basic level, all of the high-tech stuff you know. So
that's interesting.
So communication, talking, speaking, writing, doing research papers, you know, and teaching people what you know and making it very easy to understand. That is part of your soul mission this lifetime.
And kind of piggyback on what you're saying, it makes a perfect sense to me, is that what she can do, like with all her knowledge and, you know, all the smartness, education, all this stuff, I can see her, like you said, teaching and go short trips. Like they have something got to do with, you know, you got a connection with somebody not born here in this country, but you happen to go to, just say, Illinois or whatever state next to you, or go to the next town. You teach, you educate them, short trips, you know. I see all of that stuff.
Yeah, movement.
And
movement.
And it's
very
help
important.
People.
Yeah. Because you can get really restless, you know, you're that Gemini south node, and your Mercury's in Gemini, so your mind is always going. You're very analytical, very logical. You're always thinking, and you know Mercury rules Gemini, and so you know very, very good talker, good expression, good writing talent as well. I see, very good at you know speaking and writing and teaching people things. And you like mental stimulation is very important to you as well. You know, if you feel bored with something, it's hard for you to stick with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, you're like gone. You're like, no, you know, you got to have that mental excitement and attachment to the subjects you're learning. And with Suki said, I thought was interesting about the medical field. She's, you know, and I know you didn't really say anything about being a doctor and things like that. What she's picking up on is in your chart you have the moon, which is your emotional nature. It's sitting in the house of health, the house of Virgo, the sixth house, which is the house of medicine, the house of hospitals. Yeah, it's
but
the house of...
What I think is funny is that I wonder if the chart that I've seen before for myself, none of these things are true. Like my moon is in my eighth house, as well as Mars and a bunch of other planets. So I wonder if you're using a different system or if someone else entirely.
Yeah, well, no, this is you. It's probably from, did you do Vedic astrology?
No, just the usual thing, you know, when you can go online and I don't know how you pronounce it, but the Astro website, you can plug it all in. And then I've been to another professional astrologer as well who came up with the same chart.
Yeah.
And you were born in May 16, 1974?
No, September 16th.
Oh, I got that. I have down May 16.
Oh, September. But you know what's interesting?
We were talking about wow.
So what I end up with is you can probably pull it up really quickly, but I have everything in the eighth house in Libra. Heavily aspected Mercury in, let's see. It's I want to look for it really quick. But anyways, now I just threw you for a loop.
Wow.
Yeah, because I know you.
Well, we apologized.
Well, that's
sorry.
My fault.
I picked up the wrong person.
Well, no, that's my fault. No, I had two Jennifers, and both Jennifers had an eighth house son. And I know you have eighth house, and that's why you had emailed me. I know.
Yeah, exactly.
About my article. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yeah, yeah.
So September 16th, what year?
1974.
I got that. Nice for
you. And then it's 428 or 429
p.m.
Eastern Standard Time, p.m., yeah.
In Falmouth, Massachusetts.
Exactly.
I have that. I just had I put May 16 instead of 9. Okay, let me pull
instead of September, down. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. There we go. You know, and a lot of, you know, what she said with the medical field, it still holds true because...
No, it is. And for a while, I did think I was going to be a doctor, but I just started school to become a therapist, which interests me more. And I kind of think that, I mean, not that this necessarily translates since it was someone else's chart, but the idea of teaching, I was thinking... sort of translates into that where you're, you know, guiding people or teaching them in that way.
Yeah, it's still your mission. I mean, your nodes are still the same, that, you know,
yeah.
South nodes Gemini, North nodes Sagittarius, and
yeah.
It just the houses have changed. So it's all about you know, your career. And
yeah.
You know, the North nodes in the 10th house, South nodes in the 4th house. So it's all about you know, really you've already taken care of the family, you know, when we look at the house placement, you've already did that. And now you're meant to really focus on, you know, your success, you know, shining, being in the limelight. But travel, teaching, education, foreigners, all of those things are that North Node and Sagittarius.
Yeah, that's definitely true for me.
I love to travel.
Yeah, studying all that stuff is really not changed. She's very into, obviously, you know, a little bit about astrology, it sounds like. I don't mean a little bit. I mean, you know about the astrology.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of Libras in your chart. So, you know, honest. You want to, you know, you're into justice and do right and all of that stuff probably. Like, I'm not looking at your chart. I'm just
putting
to what you say. You got a lot of Libras.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, what you said about partner is definitely true. I usually am in a, you know, stable long-term relationship, and my partners are very important to me. Not in a sort of family sense, but more in a learning experience sort of sense. They're usually people who are different than me and know more than I do in this life. So it is sort of a learning opportunity to be with them.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, you know, with the eighth house, which I know you've read a little bit about, you know, some things out there, you know, the sun, Mars, moon, Pluto, Uranus, and Mercury are all in the eighth. And of course, you know, that makes you a very intuitive person. But, you know, there can be a lot of hard emotional things in your life that you have to go through. It's the house of healing and transformation. So a lot of eighth house people tell me, you know, that they feel like throughout their life, it's like they die and they're reborn again. It's like their identity completely is stripped away and they have to start all over again with who they are and what they believe and think. And so you go through that most of your life. And, you know, the cool thing is, you know, you just got out of your Saturn return a few years ago. You know, you're born in 74, you know, and during that Saturn return, it's, you know, age 28 to 30 is when a lot of, you know, changes happen in our lives. You know, we get married, we divorce, we graduate from school, you know, or maybe our parents' health and things like that. We have to focus on. And then after that Saturn return, for the first time, we start really getting in our North Node. And really, you know, starting to do what we came here to do. And for you, you know, that is your work and your career and doing it as a Sagittarius, which I really feel the teaching and teaching people what you know, that higher education, you know.
That doesn't change.
Yeah, right. That doesn't change. Yeah.
Life is still the same. What I'm picking up, I'm also listening to her voice. It doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that will not change.
With one thing I wanted to add too, and ask you, Jennifer, if you feel this way, I've seen with clients through the years, whenever there's a stellium of planets in one sign, you know, where that sign's overwhelming, like you have a lot of Libra, you know, Uranus, Mercury, a lot of times what I see happen is that actually the opposite sign is more dominant. So Aries, and I don't know.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Most people that I meet, and I'll even tell them, you know, you don't feel like a Libra, you feel like an Aries. And to me, you feel like an Aries when we're talking.
Huh.
And
yeah,
I
never gave that any thought.
You may feel like you have more Aries traits because it is your polar, you know, polar opposite energy with all that stellium there. And it takes over. It takes over. Like if I have someone with a lot of Cancer and I meet them, it's like they're nothing like Cancer. They're like a Capricorn. And I meet them all the time. So I just wanted to add that and see, you know, if that was your experience, because it's something I've researched, and I find that you may feel like, you know, I'm not really all into peace and justice all the time. I'm really, you know, pretty athletic and competitive, and I like to be honest and truthful, and I like excitement, and I like adventure. You know, you may feel more like an Aries, you know?
You know, I'd say with me personally, it's definitely not true, but that's an interesting idea. I'm not competitive, not athletic. Mm-hmm. The Libra thing makes sense to me. I like to see beauty. I like to create beauty. I'm very concerned with justice and fairness and politeness and, you know, seems Librian to me.
Yeah, usually that opposite sign is very strong in a chart with a stellium like that. But it is in the
eighth
house.
How that works, though. I am aggressive about certain things, and in my, you know, desire for balance or my desire to make things right,
about the justice,
I am
probably.
Say again?
Oh, probably justice. You know, is
exactly.
Yeah,
it makes it easier
for
me to fight for that.
And you know, having an eighth house sun and moon, oh my gosh, you know, and all the planets you have, you know, I'm very interested in a lot of things you've been through. And I know I talk to a lot of eighth house people and do a lot of research on this. And, you know, usually there is some type of inheritance. Also, you know, the death of someone close to you at a young age or the loss of someone through death, you know, the knowledge.
Yeah, my father
of,
died when I was 12 or so.
Yeah, that's the sun there, the sun and the eighth. Usually there's loss of the father. The sun represents the father. The moon represents the mother. And a lot of times when the sun is there, I find that the father figure may pass early. And when the moon is there, it's a little bit different manifestation. Usually there's, you know, a lot of emotions between you and, you know, the mother figure is very strong in the life, you know, for good or bad. You know, either, you know, there's maybe a little bit of tension, you may not get along, or you may have a deep bond.
This is more deep bonds. You know, we went through the death of my father together, and then, you know, had a lot of financial problems because of that, and so I think it made us very close.
Right.
And you're very...
Legal issues as well.
Yeah. I mean, you're very...
Not much issue with that, lucky for me, so far, anyways.
You just have, you know, just it's the house of being a therapist. I mean, you know, eighth house is the house of Scorpio, so it's, of course, you know, medical field as well. A lot of eighth house people go into medicine. It's research, you know, it's, you know, behind-the-scenes work. It's hidden.
Yeah.
Everything about the eighth house is hidden, and this kind of brings me back to there's a lot of emotional things about yourself and that you hide, and your thoughts. You know, you're so deep. You tend to, you know, you like your privacy. You don't, you know, like everyone to know all of your issues and problems, but people are drawn to you, and they tell you all kinds of taboo stuff that you don't even want to know. And it's your energy, you know, it's like, if you have problems, come to me. You know, that's the motto of the eighth house. And
it's great, actually. I really enjoy it most of the time.
Yeah, and you are very insightful, and you're very honest, and to me, you still feel Aries to me, and you know,
I want to add something to what Carmen said.
Yeah.
To her,
yeah.
Is that she's very peaceful, very nice. However, maybe what you're seeing when she's done.
Yeah.
Yes, the kind of subtle ways, kind of you feel her energy.
Yeah.
Okay. It takes a long time, but she can detach, kind of done with it. It's very hard, but she can do it. So
yeah, I'd say my mother used to say pathologically independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel her energy. That's probably aggression is the way Karma is feeling it. Yeah, she's very peaceful, very into right or wrong. It's about the, but, you know, it's a good luck with the legally, but then there are some challenges legally. You know, it kind of go both ways, and I see the little bit of Aries energy Carmen mentioned about, I think that's what it is. So she's a peaceful,
yes.
But she can cut it. She can cut it when she's done.
And I think,
yeah, it's,
you know,
it's definitely interesting because I have definitely feel that way about myself, but I had associated it more with the eighth house as like a Scorpio sort of energy, more so than Aries. But, you know, now that I think of it, it could definitely be that. It just is not something I've ever considered before.
Yeah. And your Venus in the seventh house, you know, Suki had mentioned about you have good luck through your partner. And, and it'd be good for you to have a partner, I think she was saying. And that is because Venus is sitting in your seventh house, and Venus is, you know, love and beauty and harmony. It brings peace and harmony to your relationships when you have Venus in the seventh house. So it's a very good placement. The only thing that's a little difficult for you at times, you got Venus in Virgo. And Virgos, you know, like to analyze things to, you know, and pick things apart. And sometimes you're very hard on yourself and, you know, and you know, you may think that your partner's smarter than you or you know, your partner's this and you're, you know, you always are very modest, you know what I mean? And,
yeah, that's true.
And Virgos, you know, are usually, you know, Venus and Virgo people have high standards and, you know, you tend to, you know, you want someone that is on your intellectual level and who can have that, you know, that mental stimulation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's definitely true. I usually go for people that I think are smarter than me.
Yeah, you like that. That's that Gemini, you know, that also, because, you know, Gemini and Virgo are both ruled by Mercury, so it's the intellect, the mind, the mental connection, the words that you can, you know, talking for hours deeply. You know, that's as good as having, you know, deep intimacy. You know, that creates intimacy for you. Yeah.
It's actually can be unbalanced in that way. It can be a little brittle because I'm too in my head. My relationships are so geared toward talking that it can be less emotional than it should be.
And it's interesting, too. I'm laughing now because when Suki was talking about the metal and working with metal, and I was looking at the chart I had up, and I'm like, I don't see any Aquarius in here. Where is she getting this? You know, she doesn't have any chart.
You know, thank you, Carmen.
No, I'm serious. And now that I have a chart,
my intuition. You just valid because
I don't know
what you guys talk about. But
she's Aquarius.
Oh,
she's
really?
Aquarius rising. She's Aquarius rising. Now that I changed the month.
Interesting.
I had the wrong month. Yeah. And so she's Aquarius rising. Yeah, and it's all about, like you're saying, you know, the technology, the metal, the equipment. I'm like, where is that at? Because usually what Suki's picking up energy-wise, the chart always shows it. And I wanted to say, you know, and you have that Aquarius rising, so you do have a very Aquarian energy. Yeah,
fun.
You know, logical, intellectual, you know, detached. But also very humanitarian, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When people first meet you, they see you as very, very intellectual, and they may actually see you as cold emotionally, that you're so, you know, in your head, and they really can misjudge you in a way because, you know, you do have a lot of intellectual energy.
Motherly. She got a lot of motherly energy. She wants to take care of people. She wants to do right.
The eighth house transforms that Libra because usually with that Aquarius rising, people misjudge her. You know, they'll say, you know, she's kind of detached or maybe she doesn't like me or care, but you do care. But it's just that Aquarian energy is so elusive and so hard to feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But when I was a kid, it was a more grossly played out where I would I seemed like a snob and I was often accused of being, you know, prissy or seeming better than other people. And as I got older, I'm more grounded now. And so I think people often see me as being tough, which is slightly more positive than being, you know, better than.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've had people tell me with that rising sign. That people think that, you know, feel that they act like they're better than, and my client will tell me, but I don't mean to do that. So it's that energy of that Aquarius rising that is kind of, you know, a hardship when you're younger, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
people don't understand you, you know, they're judging you based on first impression only, and they don't, you know, may not have the time to really get to know you and realize that you're very different than that, you know?
Well, I think in work, too, you know, in school you can't really do much to change anyone's mind. They're just judging you. But in the workforce, you know, you can choose professions. Like, I've always been in service. And so in a service profession, you can't really be viewed that way because you're doing something to help people. So that's definitely balanced it for me. But I know what you mean.
Yeah. And another thing I see, which might, you know, definitely, you know, eighth house, you know, you're a person that's meant to help people heal. You're a healer. Anything with energy work, anything with, you know, meditation, new age, spirituality, you know, that you can use in your practice with counseling others is will be very helpful. Anything very deep and enlightening and transformative. You know, you're not about, you don't like fakeness.
Yeah.
You know, you can't stand fakeness, and it's hard for you to even be around people at times because, you know, you need your alone time. You need your time alone. So much with all of that eighth house stellium, especially. I mean, it's such a powerful chart you have with that eighth house. It can be, you know, you may, you know, it's loneliness comes with eighth house planets. It's just the way it is. And because you're meant to find your connection to your God and the universe and to other people through helping them with their pain, because you feel people's pain and you have your own pain as well. And your own pain is healed by helping others heal. And that's the true mission of an eighth house person.
Yeah.
To heal yourself through healing others, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels right to me.
Yeah.
Before the radio show's over, I do like to mention something really quick.
Yes.
Jen, then, go ahead and buy two metal bowls so you can play with your hand. Overall, nothing else. Just the little play things in your hand. And just buy a round metal bowl, you know, kind of like a toys, but you can kind of play with your hand. They'll be really good for your health.
Oh, that's interesting. Huh. I like those things, too. They're fun.
Another thing I want to add real quick, too. I can't believe we ran out of time so quick. Neptune is in your 10th house, and a lot of times when I see that placement, of course, you're meant to do spiritual work, but also anything with addiction, helping people overcome addiction. And that can be, you know, alcohol, drugs, food, sex, internet, work.
No, that's great. I just started a program for that in my local community college.
Good. Yes.
Good.
That'll
that's
bring you good luck.
It.
Yeah, with your
that's
career.
Nice. You're
yeah.
right
that's
on track.
That's excellent.
Good, good.
Yep.
You have any questions at the end for us before we wrap up? Or?
Let's see. I don't think so. You've been very thorough, especially since I threw you a curveball with a different birthday.
No, I'm glad.
In the last
well,
minute.
You know, I had everything right except the month. I had May 16 instead of I had
what's the greatest? We kind of like validate each other that we are accurate. We're on the track that when I picked
it up, didn't
the
actually
team up.
And,
yeah.
It didn't seem off. The only way I knew is when you said that the moon was somewhere, and I thought, oh, I didn't think the moon was there. But
well,
everything after that you said was true.
I'm glad. I have so many, you know, it's my fault. I have so many people that have been emailing me to be on the show, and I mean, I have like a list of 10 people and all these birth dates, and so I knew I had about three Jennifers, and I have you as Jennifer H.
Yeah, this is the curse of being born in the 70s. My mother said it was an uncommon name when she gave it to me.
I knew it was 74 was your year, and it was, you know, I had a May 16 instead of September 16, but I had the right time and place, which is good. But
well, what's funny about that is that almost all of my friends are Geminis, and I get along the best with them. So it's funny that you mistakenly identified me as one.
Yeah. Well,
hey,
I'm
like a Gemini people, too. So.
It's neat that Gemini is actually very karmic for you. Like a lot of people with the South Node Gemini, when you look at the nodes, your children, when you have a child, they may be a Gemini because you draw people in your life that have Gemini energy because of your South Node in Gemini.
That's interesting. Yeah, for me it's mostly friends. I don't plan on having kids. I don't really care for them. But
yeah. Well, if you do, I guarantee they'll have Gemini energy.
Huh,
I guarantee it. I see it all the time. Yeah, it's really neat. Well, thank you for calling today.
Well,
thanks very much for having me.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Okay, Sikki, I guess we'll wrap up. You know, I want to thank all the callers and
well,
all the listeners.
Thanks for having me again.